This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am so excited to be here for the next episode in our mini series called What Should I Do? I don't know if you've ever found yourself asking that question, what should I do? But I think that it is one of the questions that we all ask ourselves most often. Sometimes we're deciding between right and wrong, but a lot of times we're deciding between two good things. Sometimes you might be facing uncertainty, or we might be trying to discern what God is doing and we just want to do the right thing. Recently, God has been using ordinary situations in my life to reshape the way that I answer this question. And honestly, He's been subtly getting my attention and challenging me. He's been helping me examine where my loyalties lie, what I value most, and where I put my trust. So, feel free to catch up on last week's episode at any time. I talked about a really tempting opportunity for my son to get national recognition that conflicted with something on the calendar, and I found myself asking, what should I do? In that episode, I talk about what it's like to walk away from something really enticing, even when it's hard, in order to honor God. So check it out, and hopefully it can be encouraging to you. All right, so if you have, I don't know where you are in your life as far as your decision making is concerned, but today I want to tell you about a decision I had to make between work and ministry that kind of took me by surprise. And I had to quickly commit to something, even though I had no idea what the outcome would be. It wasn't a dramatic crisis. No one was sick. No one was in danger. It wasn't even a big decision between right and wrong. It was actually just a decision that I had to make between two really good things. And I think that as believers, we need to talk about these kinds of things. I know that I tend to sometimes talk about like the big flashy stuff sometimes. And this is an effort for me to get really deep behind the scenes, share with you some of the ordinary things taking place where there's just a deep conviction and dependence on God so that we can kind of unearth what it's like to follow and obey God in everything that we do, even when it's really hard. And also how to just make everyday decisions that sometimes there's just no clear answer. So the fact that I was conflicted really revealed something to me about what might be going on deeper down. And I find that ordinary moments like that, when we pay attention to them, can be some of the most formative for us in our faith. So over the past couple of years, God has been teaching me that He doesn't always grow our faith through those big moments. In my faith journey, I have had some really big moments with God. And these moments have honestly been hallmarks of my faith. But in recent years, He's shown me more and more how He cultivates and grows our faith through ordinary moments and everyday decisions that quietly reveal what we value most. We also see this all throughout Scripture. There's so many examples of this, but one that pops in my head right away is when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land, and how there were big flashy things, right? There were pillars of fire and there was the opening of the Red Sea. But let me tell you, some of the things that really revealed the value and the treasure in the heart of the Israelites at the time were actually some of the everyday decisions. It was decisions like, what should we do while we're waiting on Moses when he's on the mount talking to God? you know? And in those moments, they made decisions that were disobedient, that did not follow after God, that exposed realities from within their heart that that they were tempted to create idols and to not trust God. And so it was this constant kind of tension of following the world versus following God. And we experience that still today. So in our sanctification process of growing to be more and more like Jesus, that we will never be fully complete until he returns, but we are constantly on a path of discovering more and more of the freedom that we have in Christ, where we are not bound to sin and sinful decisions, but we are liberated to live a free life that depends and trusts wholly on God. So I'm going to tell you about a very practical situation that happened in my life. Over the past year and a half, I've been leading a project at work that has been incredibly meaningful to me. One of the national programs that is on my team that I oversee focuses on women's leadership. And we have spent more than a year conducting a national research study for the program, and I've been the liaison for the project. Mainly just because I have experience with research, and it's kind of just very organically happened at work that I've ended up being kind of a point of contact or a liaison for various research-based projects because of the fact that I've done a little bit of research in the past, and I'm also just kind of familiar with the process. Let me be clear, I am not a researcher. I just have enough research experience to be able to collaborate well with professional researchers. And my role has really been to bring together the research team, the members, the stakeholders to make sure that the work can be meaningful and impactful. So anyway, earlier in the summer, after more than a year of working on this project, we released the results of this study at an international event in Washington, D.C. And to be honest, it was one of those career moments that you just don't forget. It wasn't about me or my contribution. It was about being a part of something that is literally going to go down in history, something that would help make a difference in the world for years to come. I love that I get to be a part of things like that in my work, even though my work is not specifically related to ministry or anything in the Christian spectrum. It is work that is being redemptive and restorative in this world, and I love that. So women from across the United States and from other countries gathered together at this event, and there was just such incredible energy in the room. We unveiled the study results publicly. We participated in a panel discussion that I was able to moderate, release the findings through, you know, press release and other methods. And we celebrated just the many months of hard work finally coming to fruition. After this big release, this reveal, finally going public with all this information, I was talking with a leader from a women's organization in Europe. And she was so excited about this research. She said that they were going to invite one of our leaders to a European conference that was to be held in Brussels later in the year. It would be a gathering of women from all across Europe. And then she said, maybe the staff could come too. Oh, man. I was already on cloud nine because of what we had already been able to accomplish at this international event. And now we're entertaining the idea of sharing this research internationally. And just, it was so exciting. So, man, my mind just immediately started racing. I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if we could do this. I wonder if we can find funding. I was thinking about sponsors because I'm like, we're not funded or budgeted for any of this, but maybe there's a way, you know, and maybe we could make it happen. And how incredible would it be to represent the organization on the international stage, to share the research, to collaborate with women from all across Europe and the United States, just be so cool. So it just felt like this, wow, what a cool career opportunity. And I told her, you know, we don't have funding for this. We'd have to find a sponsor. I have no idea if we can make it happen. But there was just this glimmer of hope, this enticing glimmer, the possibility of taking this project to the next level. And I was so excited. So I immediately get on my calendar and I put the dates on my calendar just as a tentative hold, like just don't want to forget when this event is going to be because, you know, you just never know. And I wasn't definitely going, but what if, you know, what if we could? How cool would that be? So now I need to switch gears and I need to tell you about something that was going on in another part of my life. So almost exactly 2 years ago, in July of 2024, I sensed the Lord inviting me into something entirely new in my life. I didn't have a grand ministry plan, but the Lord was asking me to go public with the message that He had put on my heart. And as He led me, I just kept saying yes. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you'll know that it was often very reluctantly, but eventually got there. I just kept saying yes to the next thing that He placed in front of me. It was like, at first it was the website and all the things that went along with that, which was super hard. Then it was my first public speaking engagement, which He told me while I was on a walk in my neighborhood what to do. It was not what I wanted to do. And then He ended up confirming that speaking engagement through the prayer team of another group of people, which is just so cool. Then I started the Engage Faith column, which was how I started to take all of the things that I have been writing on a very regular basis and never publishing and being able to publish them in the Engage Faith column. Then it was Him leading a huge transition through a ministry that was based at my church and launching a new rendition of this ministry called Working Women Honor God. And that has become a big focus for work that I do in ministry now. And then it was actually after all of that, that the podcast launched. And the podcast story is a whole other story. And again, if you go back and you're a listener of this podcast, you will have heard that story as well. But it's been a nonstop movement of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like I've just been riding the wave. None of these things were my idea. Each one unfolded one step at a time as God faithfully revealed the next layer. And over those 2 years, I had a prayer that just kept on coming back to me over and over again. And I would go to Him frequently to say, Lord, I thought You wanted me to speak. I thought You wanted me to share the messages that You have given to me publicly. I thought You had given me the gift of not being fearful to speak publicly for this reason. That's literally one of the things I'm most comfortable doing and that comes very naturally to me. I've even been trained to speak publicly through my job, and I even train others in their public speaking and their engagements, their public engagements. So it's perplexing to me, God, that You haven't opened these doors. If You want me to speak, will You please make a way? It was strange to me that all of these things have unfolded in this ministry, that He told me at the very beginning that one of the things that He had equipped me for was public speaking and that He wanted me to speak. And then it was like crickets for a long time. I had one speaking engagement. And that's fine. Like, I'm not trying to be on the stage or whatever. I do love speaking. I know it's kind of weird because most people are terrified of it. I cannot explain it, but I've been fine with speaking in public since I was a teenager. I literally delivered messages in church when I was 16 years old to the whole congregation. I mean, they sent me to be trained as a youth leader that would assist with worship services because of the fact that I was so willing and comfortable with doing this. So I would stand up, even in other churches, share, read scripture, and so forth. It was very unusual for, I just didn't meet a whole lot of people that were like that. But for whatever reason, that was supernatural to me. And I don't enjoy getting in front of people because I want to be on stage. It's literally and honestly because I love telling stories about who God is. I love sharing who God is because I just get so pumped up and I'm very enthusiastic about it. So, you know, being able to speak to a group of people about it is just a blessing. And so I've watched him transform my own life. I've watched him transform the lives of the guests on this podcast. I've seen him meet people in grief, in addiction, in doubt, in success, in failure. And I want more people to know that this is the same God that is pursuing them too. So I just kept on praying, Lord, if this is really what you're calling me to, please open the right doors. So the next thing I know, I start getting emails. First, it was a small church who is in a leadership transition and they needed someone to speak at one of their women's events. The engagement actually got canceled 3 times, but at the last minute they confirmed me as their speaker and I had a beautiful experience with those women at that event. But then I got an email from a women's ministry director from a much larger church, and she was looking for a speaker for an event at the end of the year. So we had a meeting, and as we talked, oh man, it was so natural. Everything just seemed to fit. Not only did we get along, but her vision and the things that she was desiring for their ministry just aligned so well with my heart, and it just felt like God was on the move. And as I was talking to her, regardless of whether or not they ended up inviting me to speak, I just knew that God was showing me that he had decided to go ahead and start opening doors. So I asked her the date, and guess what? It's the exact same day as that conference in Europe. So I just kind of like chuckled inside and didn't let her hear me chuckling. And I thought to myself, of course it is on the same day. Of course it is. Out of all of the days of the year, it's on the same day. And if you listened to the episode last week, you know that that was also a scheduling conflict thing. So I think God was just really, really digging in with me to say, okay, Jessica, but now it's work and ministry. And suddenly these two worlds that I've been living in, my professional work and the ministry calling, collided. And the opportunity represented years of professional growth, and the other opportunity represented years of prayer. So we continued the conversation. I told her that I would check my availability and get back to her via email. So for a couple of days, I prayed. I prayerfully considered. I want you to know when I pray, when I say I prayed, it comes out in different ways, okay, guys? Sometimes I'm literally on my knees praying. Sometimes I'm like sitting in my therapy chair. That's what I call it because it's in the corner. It looks like a therapy chair. I think it is a therapy chair, actually. I'm sitting in my therapy chair, like having a not like a boo-hoo session with God, but prayer time with God. And then other times it is me having prayerful consideration over something. Now, what that means for me is that I'm prayerfully considering it while I'm doing other things in my life, while I'm blow drying my hair, while I'm walking to the train or driving, while I'm on the train, while I'm walking through the hallway, while I'm on the elevator. And I'm not like my eyes are not closed. Don't worry. But and when I say prayerful consideration, it is like I can feel the trust in the middle of my chest. It's like this sense of of surrendering to God my will and the things that I want in order to fully trust him as I ask him for guidance and direction. And so when I say for a couple of days I prayed, that's what I was doing. And I the other thing is, have you ever heard of the saying, go to the throne, not the phone? I can remember in my life when I was younger, I would just go straight to the phone. I mean, the minute I had a conflict, the minute I had something come up that I needed to make a decision, I would go straight to the phone. I would pick up the phone, call a friend. Oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened. I have this work thing and I have this ministry thing and they're on the exact same day. Can you believe it? And I would talk to a friend on the phone about it in hopes that they would give me some sort of glimmer of direction or clarity or understanding. Do you know that now I barely have time to call people? I do love to talk through things in life, but I just have so many things to pray about that I don't have time to go to the phone. I have to go to the throne before I go to the phone. So anyway, I took a day or two prayerful consideration. What should I do in the depths of my soul, leaning into the Lord to trust him and to say, God, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And I kind of knew right away that I needed to say no to the European thing. But it just kind of made me feel better to take a look at things and not just respond immediately in haste. I was like, maybe I'll talk to God. Maybe he'll say something that will be, you know, exciting and he'll let me do both. I don't know. So I'm not really sure where my heart was still when I prayed about it, but it doesn't matter because God just wants us to go to him with wherever we are. So then I kind of took a pragmatic approach. I looked again at my work responsibilities. I was just, you know, I had to think about how to steward my work well and what that would look like if I didn't go or didn't participate in this event in any way, because obviously you're not funded to go, but I just thought, you know, even if it was virtual or something, what I would do. So I considered whether anyone else can go. And honestly, it took me about 30 seconds to realize someone else could absolutely do this. They could present the research. They could participate, whether in person or virtual, whatever it is. The researchers could do it. The committee leaders could do it. I could prepare someone else on staff to do it. I wasn't grieving the possibility of the research making it, not making it to the stage. I was grieving the possibility of me not being a part of it. I didn't have to be the one to do this. I wasn't going to be neglecting any workplace responsibility if I did not do that, if I didn't do this, or if a door opened for us to participate and I couldn't be the one, you know? And so then that realization exposed something in my own heart. The real struggle wasn't logistics or the calendar conflict. It was desire. If I'm honest, I wanted to participate. I wanted the international experience. I wanted the networking experience. I wanted to see the project through. There was nothing inherently wrong with any of those desires. But as I prayed, I realized something. I don't know whether this moment was a test from God, a temptation fueled by my own ambitions, or just simply two opportunities colliding at the time. But I do know what it revealed. I realized that it was revealing what I treasure most. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That verse suddenly felt very personal. Another verse kept on coming to mind, and I actually mentioned this verse in the episode last week as well, and that's Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Notice Jesus isn't saying he doesn't care about career or that career doesn't matter. He's not saying that work isn't important In fact, throughout scripture, we see God pursuing people's vocation in incredible ways and God working through that. Also, as you see in my story, I was looking at how I steward my job responsibilities well and make sure that I'm not falling short on those and that I'm doing that with integrity. But that was not the issue. Jesus just tells us what needs to come first. His kingdom, not our ambitions, not our recognition, not even the opportunities that we seize. His kingdom comes first. So the more I prayed, the clearer it became. This wasn't really about the European conference or even the research. It wasn't even about whether I would ultimately be asked to participate in either of the events. It was about my allegiance. Who do I bow down to at the end of the day? Jessica or God? Who do I serve? Jessica or God? And when faced with a decision between two good things, I had to decide which one was the most rewarding in the kingdom of God. So I emailed the church. I told her, yay, guess what? I'm available. Praise God. And I told God, you are worthy of the sacrifice because you are my all in all. I didn't even know if they were going to officially invite me to be the speaker at this church event. They were still praying about it and deliberating. And right now, as I'm recording this episode, I don't actually know how this story ends. Maybe by the time you hear this, we're going to know whether I'm speaking at the event. Maybe by the time you hear this, we'll know whether or not the European conference thing is turning out for, not for me, but for others. I don't know. But strangely, that's not the point anymore. The point is that God has challenged me to evaluate what I treasure most. The point is to consider whether my prayers and my actions align. Here I am asking God to lead me and to make a way for anything he might want me to do in speaking ministry so I can share the messages that he has placed on my heart so I can serve his kingdom and advance his kingdom. But am I willing to sacrifice to obey when he does make a way? James tells us in James 1, 2, and 3, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And just a few verses later, he reminds us that we are often drawn away by our own desires. Those verses together have been helpful for me. I don't need to know exactly what was happening behind the scenes spiritually, but I simply need to pay attention to what God is revealing in my own heart. Where am I? What desires are drawing me in, you know? So friends, maybe you're facing a decision right now. Maybe it isn't between something good and something bad. Maybe it's between two really good things. Maybe one advances your career. Maybe one costs you something. Maybe one is exciting. Maybe the other feels quieter or more faithful. Can I encourage you with something? Sometimes God's direction becomes clearer when we stop asking, what do I want, and start asking, what will help me seek the kingdom of God? That question is reordering things for me. In this case, I could see God answering my prayer in real time about the speaking. And I didn't like the way that he was doing it. I wanted to have it all. And God was saying, I am all you need. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So do you treasure me above all else? Something that I'm learning through all of this is that God doesn't just guide our decisions. He lovingly reshapes our desires. And sometimes before he entrusts us with more of what we've been praying for, He's going to gently ask you, what do you love most? I think that that's a question worth sitting with. So take this opportunity to assess your own situation and what you love most. What do you treasure? What are you not willing to let go of? Is there anything in your life that's offering you the stage instead of giving God the stage? Is there anything in your life that's offering the promise of worldly benefit at the expense of the work God is doing in your life? If so, guess what? You're in good company. I'm right there with you. This means that God is working in your life. This means that God sees you and desires your full attention. It means that He's calling to you in the midst of temptation and darkness. And He's saying that He wants you to store up your treasure in heaven. I want to go back to that verse in Matthew 6 because the where your treasure is, there your heart will also be isn't the only part of that verse. If you go to verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So keep engaging your faith, because the God who is writing your story is always faithful, even in the ordinary decisions that quietly shape your heart. I hope that this has been encouraging for you, and I hope it will propel you to see Him more clearly and trust Him more fully in all aspects of your life. Thanks for joining me today. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.